Good morning to everybody this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I want to thank you again for joining us in our radio broadcast. This will be sermon number 16 in our Bible prophecy series. And every once in a while I have to stop to remind folks that if you should miss a sermon in this particular series, you can download the audio portion of it from our church's website at Hilltop Baptist Church, Newport, it's hilltopbaptistnewport.net or .com or .org. You can punch in that web address and it will take you to, either one of those will take you to our main web page. But the main page is hilltopbaptistnewport.net. And we are also going to be uploading the HTML files and also the text files and probably PDF versions of the sermons that we're preaching in this particular series, and it will be listed under a page that deals with Bible prophecy, and that's linked from our main page. So if you miss anything, you can go there and pick it up, and then you can also go and listen to it, and if there's some detail that you missed, then you can go back and pick up on it. And we'll also have the text things there so you can actually go and read what has been put out here on the radio broadcast. Now, last week we dealt with the Antichrist. This week we're going to deal, I'm going to take just a little bit of a detour here, and you may think the focus will not be upon Bible prophecy, and this morning we're going to deal with a topic where we're going to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ and His deity, His incarnation, and a few other items. I won't be able to get into a great deal of depth, but I'll fill you in on some more of the details near the end of this particular sermon today. Okay, now let's turn in your Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 9 through 14. Daniel 7, verses 9 through 14. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. We dealt with that last week. That is the destruction of the Antichrist and the false prophet there. Verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Obviously, this Son of Man is not just an average Son of Man. In fact, this Son of Man that is called out here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Ancient of Days that we just read about appears with the Son of Man in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. In this appearance, they are sitting in judgment with millions of saints gathered around them. What we have before us is scenes from Revelation chapters 19 and 20, where judgment is exercised upon individuals, the beast, the false prophet, and the devil. Now, according to John chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, judgment has been given to the Son. The description of the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 is very much like the description of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapters 1, verses 10 through 17. Now, I want to remind you that in John chapter 5, in fact, let's just go read that. John chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. I don't have this right here before me, but I will get it here. John chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in him, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. I wanted to read that for you, because he's been given that authority because he is the Son of Man. That's very, very key in understanding what we're going to be talking about here today. So, the Son of Man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We in John chapter 5 there, we just saw it, and we saw it in the Daniel chapter 7 over there. And I want you to, let's go and look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, and read those. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now this is the Apostle John that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Let me read it again. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. What an amazing thing when you consider the description that we just got through reading out of Daniel chapter 7 describing the Ancient of Days. Can it not be that that Ancient of Days is the Lord Jesus Christ? We submit that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was yet another appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, let me go and pick up another scripture here that in the book of Daniel, we see the Lord Jesus Christ appear as both as the Son of Man and as the Son of God. And I neglected to include that in my notes here, but I want to go and pick that particular verse up also so we can kind of build a foundation for it. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in the furnace with, and I can't seem to locate that verse, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, it says that he, when he appeared there, that he was the Son of God. And still haven't found that verse here. I'm at a little bit of a loss here today. Here it is. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. It's like the Son of God. So we see the Son of God showing up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, and we also see the Son of Man showing up in Daniel chapter 7. So we see both the Son of God, the Son of Man. And I want you to store that in the back of your minds, because the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry upon this earth referred to himself many times as the Son of Man. And he's also known as the Son of God. So keep that in the back of your mind. In Daniel chapter 7, we see the appearance of God the Father and God the Son. God the Father is identified as the Ancient of Days in verses 9, 13, and 22 there in chapter 7. In those verses, as well as Ezekiel 1, verses 26 through 28, Ezekiel 10, and also in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8, we see God the Father appear in all his glory. In Daniel 7, verse 13, and also Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, we see another pre-incarnate appearance in glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. The glory of the Father and the glory of the Son is an equally shared glory. You need to understand that, or you'll never understand the Trinity. The Trinity, of course, being made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. And they will never cease to be God the Holy Ghost, God the Father, and God the Son. They'll never cease to be that. And the glory that is shared is an equally shared glory. And we know that from John chapter 17, verse 5, which says this: "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." I want you to note also in Revelation chapter 21, up in verse 23, that, let's read it. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So we see both the glory of God there, and we see the light of the Lamb also lighting that temple that's in the book of Revelation. And it is anytime the Lord Jesus Christ shows up, there's going to be glory. There's going to be glory. Now, note also from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, that the Son of Man appears in glory and is given everlasting dominion over all peoples, nations, and language. I would also like for you to note that the appearance of the Son of God in the fiery furnace with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Daniel chapter 3. We went and read Daniel chapter 3, verse 25 just a moment ago. You also need to know that almost every appearance of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was an appearance that prefigured the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the incarnation, we mean that he was God robed in the flesh. He was very God. He was Emmanuel, as the book of Isaiah says and as the book of Matthew says. Emmanuel being interpreted, God with us. In other words, God in the flesh. Now, I want us to go and look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, and I want to look at Psalm 68, verse 18, and Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 10. Now, but before I proceed with that, I want to remind you that when we go to read these verses, that these verses are not prophetic in nature. They are an established fact at the time they're stated. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 says this: "Who hath ascended up unto heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell?" What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And then remember from Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, it said that one appeared in the furnace, and he was the Son of God. Neither Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, nor Daniel chapter 3, verse 25 are prophetic. They are reporting events that have taken place. Now, let's look at Psalm 68, verse 18. And this is a reference, by the way, to the Lord Jesus Christ too. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Turn in your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And I'm going to show you that that verse in Psalm 68:18 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That, in context there, that is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see him appear a number of times in the Old Testament. And by the way, he is the creator. The book of Colossians states clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator. And as we just read, John chapter 17 verse 5 clearly states that the Son of God existed with God the Father before the world was created. Otherwise, how could the Lord Jesus Christ refer to him as Father before the creation? Look at it again. John 17, 5. Read it again. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So that happened before the creation. Now, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ has existed from everlasting, which means he had no beginning. What that means is that God the Father and God the Son have always coexisted in a co-eternal, co-equal relationship. What that also means is that prior to the incarnation, in other words, before the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary, is that prior to that incarnation that the Lord Jesus Christ was still the Son of God. If he could cease to be God when he was robed in the flesh, then he would not be God to start with. Remember what Emmanuel means. God in the flesh. God with us. God in the flesh. Put another way, if he was not the Son of God before he was robed in the flesh, then he was not the Son of God after he was robed in the flesh. What the Lord Jesus Christ became at the incarnation, once again, was God in the flesh. That is, he became the God-man. Or in other words, the Son of Man. If you're going to study it out in the New Testament, you'll find out that that is true. That he is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. And that as the Son of Man, he was robed in the flesh. Now, to put it another way, the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God in the flesh. It was Jesus as the Son of Man that was literally God in the flesh. It was Jesus as the Son of Man that was begotten of the Holy Ghost and not, and I want to emphasize, not as the Son of God that he was begotten of the Holy Ghost. To state that the Son of God had a point in time when he was begotten is to state that the Son of God is not God. It's critical that you understand that. To state that the Son of God had a point in time when he was begotten is to camp out under the feet of the Unitarians, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, and all modern day Arians. If you believe that the Son of God had a point in time when he was begotten, then you may as well believe that the heretics were correct when they perverted John 1:18 to refer to the incarnation as the begetting of God. The perfect King James Bible referred to him as a begotten son, never as a begotten God, never as a begotten God. Jesus was begotten as the Son of Man and not as a Son of God. At the incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ once again became the God-man. It was Jesus as the Son of Man that was made a little lower than the angels. It was not the Son of God that was made a little lower than the angels. By the way, what we just got through talking about, John 1:18 referring to an only begotten God, that is the perverted translation of the New American Standard Bible, which is the darling, if you will, of many so-called fundamentalists. They're not fundamentalists. They're already in trouble with a New American Standard Bible. And it's also, by the way, that John 1:18, using that only begotten God translation, is also the product of the New World Translation and also the two Greek harlots. And I call them harlots because that's what they are. They're corrupted manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Those are the two manuscripts upon which the majority of the modern perversions of the Bible are based upon. And if you knew how much of that Vaticanus manuscript was missing, it would shock you. There's a good part of the book of Genesis missing, the book of Revelation, and a lot of the other stuff, about half of the book of Hebrews is missing out of it. And I could go on and list out one thing after another from those. Those are manuscripts, corrupt manuscripts, and if I had something that was based upon them, I would burn it in the fire quickly. Because it's straight out of the pits of hell, and it'll be right straight at home anyhow. Now, back to the topic at hand. The phrase Son of Man is used 89 times in the New Testament. It is used exclusively of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It is capitalized in every case with the exception of Hebrews 2:6, where the term is used in relation to the making of the Lord Jesus Christ a little lower than the angels. And when I say it's capitalized, the word son in that phrase, Son of Man, is capitalized. Now, 89 times it's used of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this too. Prior to the crucifixion, it is a term that was used by the Lord Jesus Christ of himself and exclusively by him. After the resurrection, I think it may have been used about three different times by men of him. But before that, it was used exclusively by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now the phrase the Son of God is used 43 times of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20, it is stated by direct revelation that the Son of Man is the Son of God. It was only as the Son of Man that he could pay the penalty for our sins, because God required the sacrifice of a perfect, sinless body of flesh and blood to atone for the filthiness of our sin. He required that sin to be put upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. It was our sin that was put upon him. And by the way, it was our sin that caused and put a great separation between the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father in the closing out, when the Lord Jesus Christ, from the right prior to giving up the ghost on the cross, used the phrase, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was referring to the fact that when the sins of the world were placed upon him, that God turned away from him. And it was at that particular time, that 3-hour period of darkness in which the Lord Jesus Christ had the sins of the world put on him, that God turned away from him. It was at that time that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he commended his spirit to God in heaven. And by the way, it was also at that time that he went literally down into the pits of hell and proclaimed the gospel. And also at that particular point in time when his soul was made a offering for sins. He became the sin offering at that time. I want to go and look at Matthew chapter 16 and read verses 13 through 20 to kind of back up some of the things that I just said there. Matthew chapter 16, let's start up in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? See, he uses that term, the Son of Man, there. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? That's the all-important question for all of us. Whom do you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is? And Simon Peter answered him and said, thou art the Christ, listen at this, the Son of the living God. Look at both phrases there. They are equated there. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man, that he was Jesus the Christ. That's something that we'll have to consider later on. But the phrase Son of God and Son of Man is used there. Now, it was as the Son of Man that he went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. It was that body, that man's body, that perfect body, that sinless blood that was offered on the cross at Calvary. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinless, folks, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him sin for us. Now, the penalty that was paid at Calvary for our sins was not only in flesh and blood, but it was also in the mental and spiritual anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mental and spiritual anguish was the much greater pain, folks. That separation between God the Father and God the Son that I talked about could not be reconciled until the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was placed upon the mercy seat in heaven. At that particular point, the penalty had been paid, the blood had been placed upon the mercy seat, and hallelujah, the reconciliation had been made. And now that ministry of reconciliation has been committed to us as Christians. We are to witness. We're to tell people about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to go out and tell them that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I want to say this. I intend to take this topic much further than what we have in this brief 30 minutes that we've had here this morning. We have prepared what will be at least a 6-part radio series dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. In it, we will talk about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that series, we talk about the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-man, the Word, and the incarnation of wisdom. We have yet to prepare the section on the angel of the Lord, and that section may extend the series to a 7-part series. I'm not sure exactly where we'll go with it, but we're going to really study the Son of God and his attributes and the titles used in the New Testament. Thank you for joining us today, and may the Lord richly bless you.